Greetings and welcome to Shnayim Mikra, the podcast series sponsored by the Orthodox Union, hosted here at OU.org, in which in each podcast we read, translate, study, analyze one of the aliyot of the current week's parasha. My name is Yitzhak Shalom, and I'm delighted to be studying Parashat Chukat with you via this most modern of media, studying the most ancient of texts. We are now going to look at the second aliyah, which picks up in chapter 19, verse 18 of the book of Bamidbar, Yotet Pasuk Yodchet, picking up with the end of the description of the process of the paraduma. V'lakach ezov, so the Kohen, who puts the water from the spring, Mayim Chayim, into the vessel, who he also has the ashes, this is to purify, v'lakach ezov, he's going to take more hyssop, because remember, there was a hyssop that was used originally at the fire. He's going to take some hyssop, some moss, v'taval b'mayim, ish tahor, and again ish tahor, and we have the same problem that we had earlier, mentioned in the first podcast, and he's going to dip it into the water, v'hiza ala oil v'akol akilim, he should then spritz it on the tent where the dead person was, and all of the vessels, v'ala nefashot ha'yusham, and any people who were there, v'al hanogea be'etzmo v'chalal, or anybody who touched a bone or a dead body, of a mate or a kaver, or touched directly the dead body, meaning a casualty, a halal, a dead body, or a grave. Meaning all the ones that we mentioned above who become tamei for 7 days, become impure for 7 days, now this fellow is going to take the hyssop and use it to spritz the water that's mixed with the ashes on them. V'zata orala tamei be'emosh t'shiva m'shvi. So the tahor, meaning this kohen who's tahor, will spritz it on the person who is tameh on the third and seventh day from when he became tameh. V'chit'o b'yom ha'shvi, and he will expiate him on the seventh day. V'chibes v'lev v'chatzmai v'tayar b'yaret. And he will then put his clothes in the mikveh, and he himself will go in the mikveh, and he becomes tahor at night b'yaret. V'ish ha'shit ma'va lo yitchata, and this goes back to what we saw earlier, because a person is tameh and does not expiate, then this person is cut off from the community. Now, what has to be understood as a subtext, as we had earlier, is that he went into the environs of the tabernacle, of the sanctuary, without becoming tahor. And how do we see that? Ki et mikdash Adonai timei. He defiled the sanctuary of Hashem. Meini dalo zarakala. These waters of separation, these waters of purification, were not thrown on him, tamehu. He maintains his tumah. This is an eternal law, and we've seen that in the beginning, we've seen that in the middle, and now at the end, the idea of chukat olam. And the fellow who spritzes the water has to purify his clothes. And the one who touches them has to become tameh. So now, this presents us with the very famous conundrum, which is that somebody, and there's a few different people here, the one who burned the cow, and the one who collects the ashes, and now the one who, perhaps years later, takes these ashes for a periodic ceremony, and all the people come to become tahor, all of the ones involved with this themselves become tameh with a much lighter impurity that only lasts 1 day, and this is the famous notion that it is impossible to pull somebody else out of the dirt without getting dirty. In the same way, if you're trying to help somebody become tahor, you're going to have to become a little tameh too. V'chol asher yigabu atameh itma, v'nefesh hanogat itma ra'aret. And anybody who this tameh touches becomes tameh, and the person who touches becomes tameh until the evening. Now the Aliyah continues with the following story, which perhaps tells us why Parah Aduma was mentioned here. Because after all, the laws of Parah Aduma belong properly either in Parshat Shmini, especially with the death of Nadav and Avihu, and the fact that we're talking about purity and impurity as it affects the Mishkan, or at the very latest, it belongs in Parshat Naso, when we have several other miscellaneous laws about the sanctity of the camp, like Nazir and Sota, etc., and especially Shiluach Tmeim, sending the Tmeim out. But we find this story here, which is the beginning of the death of the generation of the Exodus, not particular people who sinned, like in the case of Korach and the case of the 10 scouts, but here we find that the leadership of the early generation is going. Now the entire community comes to Midbarzin, Bachodesh Harishon, Vayeshem Amakadesh. So now they're in the first month. And this first month is the first month, meaning a year before they're going to enter Israel. Vayeshem Amakadesh, Vatamot Sham Miriam. They settled at Kadesh, and that's where Miriam died, Vatikaver Sham, and she was buried there. And so now all the laws that we just saw kick in. Veloya Mayim La'ida. There was no water for the community. And this is going to lead to that very famous scene of complaining about water by Kalu al Moshe v'al Aaron. They all gathered against Moshe and Aaron. The rabbis find a connection between the first two verses, is that Miriam's death brought about the thirst because it was through Miriam's merit that the rolling well that went with Bnei Israel through the desert was there, and when she died, it ceased. We'll see a second piece of that triumvirate in this parsha, but not right away. So now, Vayar Va'ami Moshe, the people contested Moshe. Vayim Rulei Mor, this is what they said, V'lu Gavanu Bigva Achin Lefnei Adonai, we should have died like our brothers died. Now, who are they talking about? Are they talking about all the people who died over the last 38 years as a result of the sin of the scouts? Are they talking about the death of the people of Korach, which may have taken place 38 years ago, or may have taken place very recently? Dispute about when that all took place. But there is no doubt that this story, by the way, takes place in the 40th year. Why did you bring the community to this desert? For us to die, and so for our cattle to die. What was the point of bringing us out? Why did you take us out of Egypt to bring us to this terrible place? Which absolutely evokes Datan and Aviram's claim that we heard it in Parshat Korach. There's no seed here, no place to plant. There's no figs, there's no grapes, there's no pomegranates. All the things you described about Eretz Yisrael, not here. Well, my mind is short, we don't even have water to drink. So, why did you bring us out? Now, Moshe and Aaron came in front of them, as they dealt with in, we saw several times in Parshat Shemot, and several times in Sefer Shemot, and several times here in Bamidbar, to respond to the people's complaints. Al Petach Omoed, they came to the door of the Omoed, Vayiplu Al Pnehem. They fell on their face, and unclear, are they falling on their face facing the people? Meaning, to try to appease the people? Are they falling on their face towards God? Meaning, they recognize the people's anger is going to raise anger of God, and they're trying to appease Him. Vayirachvon Adonai Eliyam, and God's honor and glory appears before them, which now sets the scene. People are angry. God is now appearing to Moshe and Aaron with a solution. Let's see how it all plays out. And we will see that in the next podcast, which we will look at the third Aliyah. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.